Hello, this is your volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, and welcome to this edition of Northland Views. We read today from the White Mountain Independent and from Springerville, the first headline, DPS releases report on Round Valley, article by Jean Morea, dated November 17th. An investigation by the Arizona Department of Public Safety into activities by the Round Valley Police Department has been released. On July 10th, then Springerville Town Manager Tim Rasmussen sent a letter to the DPS requesting an investigation and full policy review of the Round Valley Police Department. Rasmussen wrote that Springerville was sending this letter to request an investigation and review of the Round Valley Police Department's policies and procedures and officers, noting the request had council approval. He also made clear the request was not sudden. He had already emailed DPS Captain David Cates back on June 24th requesting the same review and had been told to elevate the request up the chain of command. DPS Inspector Michael Kepler later documented Rasmussen's request in a September 10th interoffice memo. According to Kepler's narrative, Rasmussen asked DPS to investigate alleged policy violations by Chief Dason Merrill and Lieutenant Shane Bevington related to a March 22nd American Legion incident involving then police officer Sidney Aragon. Before DPS began its work, Rasmussen expanded the scope. He asked investigators to examine potential acts of dishonesty by Merrill and Officer Ashley Yala during depositions conducted by local attorney Bruce Hamblin, the termination of former officer Tannen Moreno, and other confidential information that was improperly shared inside the Round Valley Police Department. Pertaining to the American Legion fight, the DPS report recounts what happened on March 22nd at the American Legion in Springerville. According to the report, Officer Aragon, who was off duty, and his wife were at the American Legion when Aragon attempted to stop his friend, Josh Iragoen, from driving drunk. A confrontation followed in the parking lot. Aragon later said he acted in self-defense. Iragoen described a different account and provided photos of black eyes and facial bruising. Later that night, Iragoen showed up at Aragon's home, where a second confrontation occurred, ending with Aragon physically restraining Iragoen before he left. Aragon told Bevington about the incident the next day. Bevington told DPS he decided that Aragon was the victim, not the aggressor, and he chose not to open an internal investigation. He did not initiate an internal affairs case or elevate the matter as Round Valley Police Department policy requires. DPS found that Merrill learned of the incident only weeks later on April 9th when a concerned citizen approached then Springerville Mayor Shelley Ridehead. Ridehead asked Merrill for answers. Merrill did not order an internal investigation. Instead, he and Bevington handled the matter through an informal memo exchange. Merrill also met with a DPS captain to discuss the situation and left the conversation believing he didn't have anything. He told DPS that Rasmussen didn't like it, but he agreed with it. When Kepler interviewed Merrill and Bevington, he brought copies of Round Valley Police Department policy, which, among other things, requires that off-duty officers avoid enforcement action. An officer displays conduct that reasonably conforms to standards on and off duty, and that all misconduct, including third-party or anonymous complaints, must be reported and investigated. After reviewing their own written rules, both Merrill and Bevington admitted the decisions, their decisions, were out of compliance. Merrill told DPS he should have ordered an internal investigation. Bevington said he should have opened one himself. Personnel consequences followed months later. Aragon was placed on administrative leave on June 28th and resigned July 8th. Merrill and Bevington were placed on leave on July 30th of this year. Next, we turn to news from Apache County in Ganado. The headline, Apache County fifth grader earned statewide recognition in AZ529 essay contest. An article by Jen Morea, dated November 18th. With a dream of opening Daniil's Delicious Bakery, a fifth grader from Kinda Lichi Ulta School has been named Apache County's 2025 winner in the statewide AZ529 Future Career Art and Essay Contest. Daniil Yazzie was honored during a recognition event hosted by Arizona Treasurer Kimberly Yee in Phoenix, where county winners were awarded a ceremonial check for $529 to be deposited into a new or existing AZ529 education savings plan. The statewide winners were announced on November 3rd. Now in its sixth year, the contest invites fifth and sixth graders to respond to the prompt, "What is your dream job and how do you plan on achieving it in the future?" This year's contest drew 876 entries from district, charter, private, Bureau of Indian Education, and homeschooled students across all 15 counties in the state. In her essay, Daniil Yazzie wrote about her goal of becoming a baker and one day opening her own shop, which she has already named Daniil's Delicious Bakery. She wrote that her passion for baking began at age 5, when she learned to make chocolate chip and walnut cookies. She described bakers as skilled professionals who prepare a variety of baked goods by measuring ingredients, following recipes, and using specialized equipment. Yazzie outlined the steps she plans to take to reach her goal: saving money to open a bakery, earning a culinary arts degree, and continuing to learn new recipes and techniques. She wrote that baking brings joy to others and gives her a creative outlet that she hopes to turn into a future career. Kimberly Yee, the Arizona State Treasurer, said the contest encourages students to think early about their futures and how education savings can help them reach their goals. More than 61,000 AZ529 accounts have been opened in the past 5 years, according to the Treasurer's Office. Next, we turn to news from Pine Top Lakeside with a headline, Navajo County Food Bank Seeks Help, an article by Tony Gibbons dated November 14th. The delay in SNAP benefits, rising food costs, and a tightening job market have left many Navajo County families struggling to keep food on the table. As demand grows, local food banks and volunteer-led pantries are asking for help in the form of non-perishable, non-expired food and financial contributions, the kind of donations that keep shelves stocked when times are hard. In Lakeside, the White Mountain Community Center at 1594 Johnson Drive is distributing food boxes from 10 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon on Tuesdays and Thursdays. In addition to its food pantry, the center offers a full weekday lunch program for seniors, serving a home-style meal at 11:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. Lunch entrees include a full salad bar, homemade soup, drink, and dessert. The suggested donation is $7 for seniors age 60 and older, but staff has said that no senior is turned away for inability to pay. For those who register with the center and cannot afford the suggested donation, meals are provided at no charge, or for whatever amount they are comfortable giving. The cost is $10 for all other guests. Reservations are recommended by calling 928-368-5869. That's 928-368-5869. The center is open from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, Monday through Friday, and is also encouraging residents to sponsor meals for seniors in need. Community support continues to grow. Nevapache Electric Cooperative is matching every non-perishable item donated at any NEC office. West USA Realty in Pine Top maintains a free self-serve little pantry at 2482 East White Mountain Boulevard that is open 24 hours. And El Rancho Restaurant in Pine Top is preparing food boxes on November 22nd in partnership with RE Colon Center. In Pine Top, RE Colon Center serves hot meals from 11 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon, Monday through Thursday, and operates a food bank from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Tuesday through Thursday. A recent community update on Facebook noted their greatest needs. They need canned vegetables and fruits, rice, pasta, peanut butter, and shelf-stabled milk. Gift cards and financial donations allow them to respond quickly to urgent needs. The following is a list of food banks and pantries in Pine Top Lakeside, Solo, the Snowflake Taylor area, followed by Heber Overgaard. The White Mountain Community Food Bank is located at 820 North Moon Ridge Drive in Lakeside, open the first and third Mondays of each month. The White Mountain Catholic Charities, located at 5091 State Route 260 in Lakeside, that's open from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Then there's the Salvation Army Lakeside Service Center, located at 5658 State Route 260 in Lakeside, open from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, Monday through Thursday. Then there's the RE Colon Center, located at 814 East White Mountain Boulevard in Pine Top. The food bank's open from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, Tuesday through Thursday, with meals from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Monday through Thursday. Then there's the St. Vincent de Paul Our Lady of the Lakes Conference at 1525 South McCoy Drive in Pine Top, open noon to 2:30 in the afternoon, Tuesday through Friday. The White Mountain Community Center, located at 1594 Johnson Drive in Lakeside. The pantry's open from 10 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon, Tuesday and Thursday. In Snowflake is the Shepherd's Kitchen Food Pantry and Thrift Store, located at 344 West 4th Street South. Food pantry is open 12 in the afternoon to 3:20 in the afternoon, Tuesday through Thursday. Also in Snowflake is the Silver Creek Senior Center, located at 1658 South Main Street. Commodity boxes are given out at Our Lady of the Snow Community Center from 8 in the morning to noon on the second Wednesday. Produce boxes from 8 to noon on the third Monday. Walk-ins are welcome. Finally, in Heber Overgaard, there is the Our Lady of Assumption Catholic Church, located at 3048 State Route 277, from 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning on the second Wednesday and third Monday monthly, and the Heber Overgaard Community Food Bank, located at 2841 State Route 260 in Heber, open from 10 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon, Tuesday and Thursday. Finally, the Rim Country Senior Center Pantry, located in Overgaard, at 2171 B Street. The small pantry is open from 9 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon, Monday through Friday. And news from Snowflake is the headline, "Light the World Giving Machines Return," an article by Scott Gold dated November 17th. A giving machine is a vending machine in reverse. Rather than dispensing treats, it accepts donations for use by charities. For the last several years, Snowflake has hosted a giving machine during the holiday season. This year, Solo has one as well. When you approach the giving machine, the first thing you see is its bright red color and seasonal decor with what appears to be hanging cards inside. Using the machine, selecting a charity to donate is simple, be it buying a goat or a chicken for someone, paying for a month's worth of heat, electricity, or water, buying a wreath to go on a veteran's grave, or something as simple as a few cans of food. Besides food, support, educational items, or material items, medical or counseling assistance may also be chosen for people recovering from abuse. This year, half of the selectable charities are local in nature. The exciting thing about this year's giving machines is that we have a number of local charities that they will be supporting, said Corey Johnson while hosting a press event promoting the giving machines. The Sholo Giving Machine is located at 700 South White Mountain Road at the Sholo Creek Meadow Trailhead, there from November 18th to December 2nd. The Sholo Machine will cover Springerville, Round Valley, Vernon, St. John's, Pine Top Lakeside, Sholo, and smaller communities in the area. Local charities covered include the White Mountain Coalition Against Homelessness, Round Valley Cares, and Cap Corporal Joe McCarthy Foundation. The Snowflake Giving Machine is located at 110 North Main Street from December 17th through January 2nd. The Snowflake Machine will cover Holbrook, Heber Overgaard, Concho, Taylor, and Snowflake, including the smaller communities in the area. Local charities covered by that giving machine include the Silver Creek Senior Center, the Holbrook Emergency Food Bank, and the Nexus Coalition. You're tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona, and you're listening to Northland Views. And from St. John's, we have the headline, Trash to Treasures, Halloween Bash Highlights Creativity and Community Spirit in St. John's, an article by Jen Morea, dated October 30th. St. John's City Hall came alive with autumn colors and Halloween spirit on October 25th during the Trash to Treasures Halloween Bash. From 1 to 4 in the afternoon, families and visitors enjoyed an afternoon filled with homemade treats, artisan crafts, and festive fun. Vendors filled the main hall with a variety of goods from sourdough, cinnamon rolls, tamales, and pozole to handmade crafts, clothing, and holiday decor. Tables overflowed with local favorites, including kettle corn, granola, and gluten-free baked goods. Kristen Ferguson, Rise Project Navigator for the City of St. John's, helped organize the event and said she was thrilled by the turnout and vendor success. Bringing the Trash to Treasures Halloween Bash to life was a lot of work. Every moment was worth it, Ferguson said. She went on to say, "The creativity and spirit of our vendors truly shined. I'm deeply grateful to everyone who helped behind the scenes, and especially to all who came out to support our entrepreneurs grow their small businesses and celebrate with us. The community support and participation made this event a success." Children took part in face painting and visiting the Spook House, where eerie decorations, including a headless horseman and ghostly figures, added a touch of Halloween excitement. Many vendors joined in the spirit by dressing up, adding to the event's lively and welcoming atmosphere. And from the White Mountain Apache Tribe, we have the sad headline, White Mountain Apache Police ID Remains Found Near Knott's Landing. It's a staff report dated November 7th. The White Mountain Apache Police Department identified remains that were found near Knott's Landing on November 3rd. The remains were identified as Chalicia Cooley, who was reported missing in October by her family. Anyone with information about Cooley's death should contact the Bureau of Indian Affairs Missing and Murdered Unit hotline at 833-560-2056 or by email at ojs_mmu@bia.gov. Residents with information can also text the keyword BIAMMU and the information to 847-411. And from Heber Overgaard is the headline, U.S. Forest Service prepared for prescribed fires near Heber Overgaard, a staff report dated back on November 6th. The Apache Sitgraves National Forest planned prescribed burns back on November 4th. The burns were expected to continue through November 13th as weather conditions allowed then. Prescribed fires are used to help reduce overgrown vegetation and to help protect local communities, infrastructure, and natural resources from wildfires. The burns were at Brookbank, approximately 3,647 acres, about 2 miles east of Forest Lakes, and it was also at West Park, a total of 3,855 acres, about 4.5 miles south of Heber Overgaard, south of Farm Road 166. Those areas were closed to public for several days for public safety. Smoke was visible most likely from the communities of Heber, Overgaard, and Forest Lakes. And obviously, anytime there is a fire in the area, one is to drive slow, slow down, turn on your headlights when you encounter smoke on the road. The Forest Service will evaluate weather conditions in the hours before any prescribed burn begins. If conditions warrant, scheduled prescribed fire activities may be canceled. And in sports, with high school football playoffs in full gear, is a headline, number 4 St. John's clamps down in a 13-10 2A football quarterfinal win over number 5 Arizona Lutheran, an article by HD Winners dated November 17th. The defense stood tall as number 4 St. John's prevailed in a 13-10 thriller over number 5 Phoenix Arizona Lutheran in a 2A state football quarterfinal game on November 14th. Caden White and Jude Raban scored touchdowns in the game played at St. John's. The Redskins, with a record of 11-1, advanced to the semifinals to face number 9 Tucson Tankaverde at 6 in the evening on November 22nd at Tempe McClintock High School. The Hawks, with a record of 10-2, upset number 1 Phoenix Veritas Prep by a score of 28-23. Number 6 Wilcox, with a record of 10-2, takes on number 2 Scottsdale Christian with a record of 11-1 in the other semifinal at 6 in the evening at American Leadership Academy Mason North. The winners of these two semifinal games, which include St. John's, play for the state championship at 3 in the evening on November 29th at Phoenix Mountain Point. Back to the St. John's game. Arizona Lutheran grabbed the early momentum with its only touchdown in the first quarter, but the Coyotes' only other score came on a third-quarter field goal by Sam Arvizu. White, the junior quarterback, scored on a keeper in the second quarter, and T. Platt's extra point tied the game at 7-7. Platt saw success on defense and as a receiver with 4 receptions for 70 yards, critical for setting up the team's decisive scores. The passing game helped us a lot in the first half, and that's where we had our success, said St. John's head coach Lon Dimbat. He said, toward the end of the third and into the fourth quarter, we started owning the box, and the guys up front were able to run, and our big players came to play. Every single one of our players played great, and I'm proud of them. The outcome remained in doubt until the end. Raban scored on a third-quarter run to put the Redskins ahead by a score of 13-10. Senior running back Sam Winters did everything but score to help put the game away for St. John's. And in other high school football news, the headline, number 8 Sholo puts up battle in a 21-0 loss at number 1 Ben Franklin, a story by Keith Morris dated November 17th. Number 8 Solo battled but couldn't pull off a huge football upset at number 1 Queen Creek Benjamin Franklin on November 14th. The Cougars hung with the unbeaten Chargers all night before falling 21-0 in a 3A state quarterfinal game. Solo bowed out with an 8-4 season record. Ben Franklin High School improved to a record of 12-0 and advanced to the semifinals against number 5 Tucson Puss Ridge Christian to be played at 6 in the evening on November 22nd at Mesa Westwood High School. Puss Ridge beat number 13 Florence by a score of 51-38. Number 3 Round Valley, with a record 11-1, plays number 2 Chandler Valley Christian with a record 11-1 in the other semifinal game at 6 p.m. on November 22nd at Mesa High School. The final is set for 7 in the evening on November 29th at Phoenix Mountain Point High School. The Cougars held the 3A Metro East champion to a season-low 21 points in an impressive defensive performance that gave them a chance at pulling off a stunner before finally losing. But the Chargers prevailed to reach the semis for a second straight season. They lost to Puss Ridge by a score of 24-13 in last year's semifinal. Solo showed how well its defense can play in a heartbreaking 6-0 loss at home against Valley Christian in week 2. The Cougars then lost 28-21 at number 3 Round Valley and 35-25 at number 7 Payson in fierce 3A mountain battles. But they mocked off number 9 Mojave Valley River Valley by a score of 21-14 in the first round at Solo to get a shot at the Ben Franklin Chargers. However, the Cougars couldn't get the offense going, and Chargers junior quarterback Trent DeQuatsis completed 7 of 11 passes for 158 yards and a touchdown, and he ran 15 times for 99 yards and another score to lead Ben Franklin, which rushed 43 times for a total of 185 yards. Tayton Spear caught 5 passes for 120 yards and a touchdown. Well, that wraps up all the news from up north. This has been Northland Views and Wallace Kleindienst, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thank you for listening.